would like to have an introduction to a series calling on us to delight in the Lord. The introduction goes like this. We're looking at Psalm 39, and Psalm 39 gives us a list of 9 commands. Now I'll just show you what they are, verses 1 to 37. Verses 1 and 2, fret not thyself because of evildoers. If you wanted to take a psalm, for instance, and go through it, you'd have here 9 days to focus on a command and think of how that day, this would be your motto, you know. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. What do we do very often? We look around and we see people trapped in the thinking of Satan, the thinking of wickedness, self-indulgence, all of that. And we begin to worry, what's going to happen? What's happening to our world, you know? And here he says, your motto for today is fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, they don't have my problems. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You, however, as a child of God, have been given eternal life, eternal fullness of life. They just have a continuation of existence that will finally dwindle down into a nothingness of Gehenna, hell. Second command, trust in the Lord. And that's the capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, the name Jehovah. Trust in the Lord and do good. So our focus away from evildoers and away from the evil doing, we're focused on doing good. And we only do this when we're trusting in the Lord. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily, in truth, in stability, in stableness, thou shalt be fed. And so he says, you're going to be taken care of as God takes care of you in the land. Third day, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's what you want. That's the desires of your heart, you see. And delight yourself into him, and he will give you those. 5 and 6, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. But verses 5 and 6, commit thy way unto the Lord. Literally roll your way over. It's just take that burden, that boulder, whatever it is, just roll it off over unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. This is talking about your life improving in wisdom and in justice. Then the next day, rest in the Lord. The rest here has the picture, the King James margin tells us, of us being silent, letting things happen, and we're not complaining, we're not sobbing our hearts out, we're resting silently in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Wicked devices, ways of increasing, what is it, fentanyl that is more addictive than everything else? Is that, am I right? Have I heard this right? It's bad stuff, bad drugs. So somebody invented that, right? Coming from China, so who knows? Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That leaves some people that I hear without much words. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't let worrying mean, well, we just got to have to take these people out. Verse 27, depart from evil and do good, the negative and the positive, see, and dwell forevermore. Then wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. And the final, the ninth, is mark the perfect man and behold the upright. It's always easier to look at the evildoer, to wonder how he gets by with what he's doing. But he says, no, I want you to focus on the one that's perfect, the one that is mature and righteous. Mark that one. You see, don't put a mark on him. Just you mark him, notice it, and behold the upright. Examining the ways of God's successful people is really a remarkable concept. A book is out on characteristics of seven successful people, or seven characteristics of successful people, something like that. And that's what they did. They went through and saw there were some similarities by people who were successful, however they were defining successful. We're to do that with godly people. How did you do this? How did you raise your family? How did you? So mark them and behold them, for the end of that man is peace. So this series of messages focuses on verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. All right? And I love the positive commandments. It's important for us to know, don't do this, don't do that. Stay away from that. It'll be bad for you. It'll be bad for your family. It'll be bad for everybody. Don't do that. That's important. That's the checklist, the end of your leash. You stop there. You don't go beyond that. But I love the positive ones. And here, instead of saying, stop loving evil, he's telling us, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, the verse actually goes on to say, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. You see how these work together. If you have evil desires, he's not going to give you those. But if you delight in the Lord, it'll change your desires into the things that he would love and therefore want you to have. So, this I thought was interesting, looking up the meaning of the words, delight thyself. That's one verb, and it's in the reflexive form in the Hebrew, which means that the verb reflects back on the subject. That's why it's translated delight thyself. So this colors the verse to mean pamper yourself. How's that sound, Olivia? Pamper yourself. Be happy. Be happy for yourself about whatever they're talking about. Take for yourself exquisite delight. Make yourself merry over whatever. Make it your sport. To sport used to mean to have fun, to play around with. And then it became sports and very serious stuff. Ask my brother-in-law, can give you the history of all the sports people. You know. So, all of these things, we're to do that for ourselves in Jehovah our God. This is just not something we think about a lot, and we should. So we are to luxuriate in Jehovah our God. So compare this to other verses that also use delight in the reflexive. Job 22:26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. This is actually what he's talking about in the Psalms. Psalms written later than Job, but that idea. Psalm 37:11, which we didn't include in the commands, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You can rejoice in peace, can't you? Not in conflict, warfare. Isaiah 55:2, wherefore do ye spend or weigh money? Why are you spending money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You're focusing, you're spending your your money, your time, your effort to gain things that don't satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Just the fatness here is the fat of meat. We don't like to eat it, but it is the fat that adds the flavor to the meat. So they grind that together for a hamburger, and best tasting has fat in it. And then Isaiah 58:14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. That sounds like fun. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This has been a subject then that found various places here in the Bible. So let me share with you some of the great preachers and teachers of old that commented on this thought. J.A. Alexander said, delight thyself, seek and find thy happiness in Jehovah, literally upon him, the form of expression suggesting the idea of dependence and reliance, as well as that of union and communion. And so, delighting upon him, as though drawing from him the things that give us the delight. John Calvin said, we must therefore constantly recall to our minds this truth, that it can never be well with us except insofar as God is gracious to us, so that the joy we derive from his paternal, his fatherly favor toward us may surpass all the pleasures of the world. We who grow up unsaved, wanting what we want because we want it, we tend to explore that and think that we'd be happy if we got more and more stuff. But he says, it will only be well with you, and you only receive the important stuff when you are delighting in God. Adam Clark says, expect all thy happiness from him and seek it in him. Do you catch that? The focus of life? Matthew Henry said, we must make God our heart's delight, and then we shall have our heart's desire. We must not only depend upon God, but solace ourselves. That means seek emotional relief. You find emotionally stressed sometimes? You've been too long upset, too long nervous. Find your solace. Find your emotional relief in him. F.B. Meyer, we must withdraw our eager desires from the things of earth, fastening and fixing on them on him. Our eager desires, fixing them on him. The current of our being must set toward God. We must cultivate the habit of holy intimacy with him. That's that intimate time of prayer, intimate time of reading his word, listening to him speak, whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain. The one who is greater than our possible imagination. Have an intimate time with him, and that your great delight. Alec Robertson said, God leads us by our desires unless we allow ourselves to be imprisoned in them and forbid him entrance. This is when it all goes bad, you see. Then I found also in the ancient statements of faith, they focus on satisfying our desires. The Heidelberg Catechism. A catechism was taught to disciples, often children, and it was done in a question and answer. So I would memorize it, and my child would memorize it, or the disciple. And so question one, what is your only comfort in life and in death? It's a pretty tough question. And then they would memorize the answer. Answer that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only comfort in life. that we're not of this world anymore. Question two, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? The answer then comes, three things. Here's what you must know to live and die in joy. How great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I was in a mess. I've been freed from this mess. And that freedom came only from God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks question one, what is the chief end of man? End meaning purpose. What is the main purpose of man? And the answer is, and sometimes we only hear the first part of it, man's chief end is to glorify God. But they were very clear and very wise to add in, and to enjoy him forever. That was why we were created. And certainly why Christ went to the cross to make it possible. All right, let's look at two thoughts then concerning this. All that was just introduction. What the command cannot mean. Delight in the Lord. This could be taken in a number of ways. We want to make sure we're looking at it the correct way. We humans are familiar with the concept of pampering ourselves. And if you lose that thought, just listen to some commercials. They're telling you how to pamper yourself, where to go to eat, and what body powder to use, and all that stuff. Or all these people dancing in the grocery store because of all the ways you can pamper yourself with good prices. We are familiar with the object of making ourselves happy. We know how to do that. We know how to taking exquisite delight for ourselves, making ourselves merry, making something our sport, and luxuriating in what delights us. So in summary, we have a passion to be satisfied. We want to be satisfied in everything that we want, our passion. Usually, however, these attitudes have little or nothing to do with Jehovah God. It is all about us feeling at ease, feeling well, feeling pampered. So, five things. Do not delight in God in order to gain worldly pleasures. This is not what we're talking about here. This is, I have to do this so that I can feel earthly pleasures. The true joy of heaven is not our ability to walk on streets of gold or to reunite with long-lost loved ones. Our true joy is in our union with the transcendent God. Remember that God said to Abraham, I am your reward. B, do not delight in worldly pleasures and say they are from God. Yes, God has blessed me, he says, resting in his silks and satins and so on. Our goal is not to enhance a lust for things of the world. These are not our goal. We are to understand that true happiness and satisfaction can come only when we unite with God, reconnect to him as Adam was connected, as our source of light and life and love. C, do not put yourself first while we luxuriate in him. We did not make ourselves, yet deep within us from birth is the desire to find happiness and satisfaction. Well, how did that happen? Well, God did that. God put that within us. God wants us to turn from the lesser things that cannot satisfy and turn to him who can ultimately satisfy. Can you imagine all the stuff done, great white throne judgment ended, every sinner and sin deposited in the lake of fire, and the doors closed? for God never to look upon or think about them again. And we turn to the newly created earth, the newly created heavens, and we begin our everlasting life. God, the Father, the King, we, just having fellowship with all believers of all time, and Jesus Christ, our older brother, we begin a family relationship where everyone just searches everybody else. I'd be coming around, Levi, how are you doing? Is anything I can do to help? Just wanted to check on you, you know. And he says, well, I'm a little busy checking on Pop, see how he's doing. And with his new body, he's really enjoying not going to the doctor and getting any skin things taken off. But it's all about loving one another, deeply, perfectly caring for each other. Perfect mind, perfect body. And that's it. See, perfect satisfaction. Amazing stuff. Isaiah 55:2. Oh, I did that already, didn't I? No. Wherefore do you spend way money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We looked at that earlier. All right, do not consider pleasant things a measure of what is right. Well, it just feels right. It just seems right because I feel so relaxed. I feel so privileged here. We will look only to Scripture for the source of our joy and satisfaction. God alone can say what is right or wrong. Don't let people that have been taught that wearing those shoes would be a sin. You know, ask for the Scripture. Where do you think you get that idea? See, people will try to bring you under their domination by telling you it's right and wrong to do this. And you're saying, well, you know, only God can tell me what's right and wrong. When we connect with God's rightness, we will be happy. We will be comforted. So it's not, again, it's not about the things, pleasant things. And then finally here, E, do not suppose that desiring pleasure is a virtue. God will make our line, draw our lines in pleasant places. But that's not our goal. That's just the side benefit. So number one was what the command cannot mean. Let's look at number two then, what the command must mean. Almost the opposite of bare ritual keeping, world religion, we are to enter wholeheartedly into our worship and Christian duties. Wholehearted. We should learn to get a special joy in Jehovah God. So this command pictures the conversion of our emotions, our heart, from ungodliness to holiness. What does it mean to have a saved heart, a saved emotions? This is what it means, that we hate what God hates, and we love what God loves. And God, the Father, loves the Son loves the Father. Both of them love the Spirit. He loves them. God is love. So, what does he love? Certainly, he loves God. That's the greatest good. He loves us, we love him. That's when love has been truly converted. So let me give you a series of verses here. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have thought of your strength coming from being a hermit, being a miser, being a person who only eats five beans a day, that's not it. You have no strength until You are connected with God in joy. Micah 6:8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? You know, is it the ritual? Is it do this, stand up, sit down? Here's what he says. What does it require of you? But to do justly and to love. Love mercy. To walk humbly, thyself to walk, with thy God. Walking humbly with God. With the greatest being possible, you walking humbly with him. And loving that privilege, recognizing it for the privilege that it is. Romans 12:8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, focus on your gift. He that giveth or imparteth, let him do it with simplicity or liberality. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Often, dealing with mercy is talking to people about the problems they're having, and you being merciful to them help them to get by with what's going on. But he says, do it with cheerfulness. Smile to think that you can help them deal with things that need mercy. Then 2 Corinthians 2:3, and I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that for the preacher, for the pastor, for the spiritual leader, to have confidence in the people that he's taught, that is my joy. My joy is the joy of you all. When I find that you have walked in joy with God, that's my greatest joy, he says. Then 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man, how are you supposed to give? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Here is that joy, that satisfaction, that delight to be able to give. Thrilled me listening to Pastor Miru's email about finding the property and what money is going to be needed to finish it up. I thought, poor Dave's going to have to figure out how to, what to sell, how to gather the money. But I also knew he'd be doing it with joy, because this is a thrilling opportunity. I mean, historic opportunity for us to, I mean, can you even imagine, you know, this little church in Speedway doing this amazing work? A cheerful giver. Then Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Spoiling means they took it. They were the victor, so they took the spoils from you. So in the persecution against you as Christians, you said, we get to suffer for the Lord. That's a privilege usually given only to the prophets and to Christ himself. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He says, they thought they got everything. They just took my stuff. In heaven, we have everlasting. They took my gold. I'll be walking on that in heaven. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they are, you know, trying to help you. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. Spiritual leaders are going to give an account to God for how you do. And he says that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If they have to give a bad report in the end, that's bad for you. So let them live in such a way that the teachers can rejoice in their report. And finally, 1 Peter 5:2. Feed the flock of God, he says to the preachers, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not doing it for the money's sake, but of a ready mind. And this means a mind that is doing it readily and willingly. There's a joy in it. So in these messages that we'll be going over on Wednesdays, as God allows, we will explore delighting ourselves in Jehovah God. And I hope it will be just an ultimate encouragement and a lifting of your heart. There is a tendency sometimes for us to say, I don't know what you feel so happy about. The world's going to hell, you know. Problems all over the world. And forget that we have some of the greatest blessings to count possible, because we have our full connection to God.